Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I am super excited to have my guest today, Alicia Barr. Welcome on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tori. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, you and I go back years and years, so it's exciting when I get to interview a friend, somebody who I have known for years, because I feel like our conversation just becomes so much more rich and we have such great insight and so many topics that we can just go down. I'm sure we can record several podcasts off of the topics that we can go down. But I want you to start with obviously telling us a little bit about who you are, but what made you realize that the traditional way of sales was not for you?
Yeah, you know, I started my career selling advertising space on a network of websites all about Mexico tourism. And I found that people really wanted to work with me and buy from me because I just actually cared about them getting results. So, you know, I was checking in, like, did you get results from that campaign? How did it look? This is how it looked from our end. I just intuitively knew that they would spend more money with me if they got results. I don't know. It seems pretty common sense, but a lot of people just don't ask and are like hiding their head in the sand almost, and then only touch base when it's time to renew. And I went from there to work selling digital advertising for some big media companies. And just, I was lucky to have an inner compass that told me when something didn't fit me. Like I was the digital specialist at a newspaper. So I would go out with the print reps, right? And I got to see this like buffet of sales styles. And I could see like, oh, I can see why that works for that person. And I would never say that.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of times people are like, I should do it too, because it works for that person. Mm. So I just sort of got lucky that I was born with this discernment, I guess, of being able to say like, that's not for me. And just genuinely caring about the clients. And then when I started my own marketing agency for like 5 years, I missed sales, because it is really fun. Also, it's fun to make money, and help people by making money. And I realized that there was this really huge gap in sales training. Like most of it is very aggressive. It's created for like a chatty, charming, aggressive guy or female. They come in both genders. Yeah. And there's a whole lot of people that are not like that, especially founders. Founders usually started a company because they were passionate about the thing that they created. And so it was so devastating to see them get bottlenecked and unable to grow because they just couldn't figure out how to sell their services, which you have to do at first until you're profitable enough to bring on a sales team.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's such a perception around sales, and I'm sure obviously you come up against this on a daily basis, I'm sure, about, you know, the perception of sales and how there's negative connotations to it, and people don't want to be sold to. And, you know, like you said, founders have trouble succeeding in business because they can't overcome that challenge of sales. Well, it's all about being true to yourself, right? And finding a natural way of doing sales. And like you and I were talking just before we hit record about, you know, you do it in a certain way that feels authentic to you. And that's where your success and authenticity comes in. So it's, tell us a little bit more about how that comes through in your business.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you feel, I think maybe to be fair, maybe I did try one of these weird things that I saw some other salesperson do, but because I felt weird doing it, you can see that the prospect feels weird. Like you can tell that it doesn't land right.
Yeah.
And so that's really important data. Like if you feel weird, I promise the person across from you is going to feel weird. So just don't be weird. There's so many ways to say the same thing. Like even the situation we were talking about with you, Tori, you have this really valuable roadmap that you can give somebody, visibility roadmap that they can implement themselves. Now there are so many ways you could tell somebody about that, right? The chatty, aggressive charmer might be like, hey, all the companies I know implementing this are adding an extra 200,000 to their revenue by the end of the year. Like, don't get left behind or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah. And
you would feel so gross doing that. So you would want to do it a different way, which is like, hey, I'm trying something new. This, you know, based on our conversation where you mentioned this X, Y, and Z, this could make a big difference for you, for your team to implement and close out the year the way that you want to. Like, would that be helpful for you? So the fact that people are like, there's only one way you can say something is so asinine. It just like so blatantly not true.
Well, and it's like when you think about like sales calls, like for introverts or for founders or for people who have trouble with sales, like when you go on a sales call, normally you'll put together like a presentation or you've got, you know, your services that you offer, packages that you put together, and you go through this, you know, beautiful presentation, and then it's like it lands flat. Nothing happens. Like, what did you do wrong? Right. So the person is thinking like, what did I do wrong? Did I not ask for the sale? Right. Did I say the wrong things? Did I present it in the wrong way? It's always like trying to understand how to present yourself and your offers so that you can close the sale. So I'm sure that's part of the process too. Not just like the conversations, but even like the sales calls and the presentations have to be done in a certain way.
Oh yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the biggest thing with marketing agencies specifically is that they're listing deliverables instead of results. And you're telling somebody that they're going to get all this stuff, but they don't know what that stuff really does for them. Yeah. So being able to connect it back to a result that the other person wants is what's going to make them move forward. So a lot of times founders that are doing founder-led sales are experts in what they do. And so they forget what it's like to not be an expert and how you need to hear things differently to understand them.
Yeah.
And people don't want to admit, like, I don't understand what you're saying because they feel stupid.
Yeah.
So they just say no because they're like, I'm not really sure how that's going to like get me to the thing that I want.
Yeah. It's so interesting because you think just what you said right there, you think about the coming from a perspective of a sales like founder, right? Like I think of myself in these situations where, you know, I meet with somebody and I talk about SEO and I talk about programmatic advertising and I talk about, you know, traffic and KPIs. And when you think about it, you pull back from that conversation and you think about those specific words and terms to the person who you're talking to, they're probably thinking, what the heck does that mean? You know what I mean? Like you just said, it's like, okay, let's rethink this. So it's all almost like you shift your perspective and your approach to speak to the person, not just speak about what you can do. You know what I mean? Like the results, like how can you tell somebody who may not be in your service or industry marketing for, you know, example, how do you tell them that you can get them visibility or you can get them leads with a certain tool or service that you do without saying those technical terms to make them feel like they don't understand?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I mean, that's always been my gift. So to be fair, when I talk about like learning my sales skills, I also just got a gift with words where I was able to like translate.
Yeah.
buzzwords to layman's terms, and do it in the reverse too for many people who are trying to sell me something. I'm like, oh, okay, you're saying blah 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 blah, and they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, just want to be clear, that's what you're saying this will do for me, then yes, I'm on board. I'm like doing their job for them. But also being able to translate when they're not telling me what I want to hear, so I guess that's good.
And so your business, I want to talk about the name of your business. How did that come about? And tell us a little bit about your visibility journey in launching the business and making yourself visible, in the role that you have currently.
Yeah, well, it has been quite a journey. When I first started, I didn't know exactly what I was gonna do or how I was gonna help people. I just knew that when I helped people at corporate, it just everybody said it doesn't feel like selling. So I called it the secret art of subtle selling. And nobody really understood what the hell that meant. So I evolved to focusing on introverts because they have a lot of really great natural skills, like curiosity and empathy usually come very naturally to an introvert. And the problem was that a lot of people didn't realize that they were an introvert. And the ones who did, because I think it's about being outgoing, which is a confidence thing. So there's lots of outgoing introverts who have these natural skills that they need to leverage. And they didn't know. So the people who did identify as introverts were like hermit recluse status introverts, which is kind of like a different thing. So I shifted again and had the matchmaker sales method because the foundational philosophy of what I do is that if it's a fit, it's a fact, and there's no selling involved. And it really takes that like personal rejection piece out of it because it's just about fitting. It's not that everybody is a yes, and if you didn't get that yes, then you failed. It's like, no, we weren't a fit, honestly. And that's okay. So that kind of sounds like little old ladies, though, matchmaker. So it wasn't really like the sexiest brand, you know? So then one day I've always been a black sheep in pretty much every way. I know that I don't physically look like a black sheep. Like I don't have like a purple mohawk and a bunch of tattoos and piercings, which is what people think a black sheep should look like. But I've always been like an unconventional like woman, wife, mother, business owner, salesperson, like whatever. People were always just a little shocked by me my whole life, you know? So I was talking, and in my family, a black sheep. And so I was talking to my clients about how I was just so tired of not falling in line and that being like a bad thing in my family. Like, sorry, I'm different. And my client was like, yeah, me too. And I talked to two other clients who said, yeah, me too. And you could also feel that there was this kind of like shame or negative emotion around it. And I was like, okay, first of all, I think this is my audience. Second, because they also did things a little different in their industry too, that pissed off mainstream for some reason. Like it's always making someone upset that you're just different, and it's like the weirdest experience. Like I'm not trying to tell you to do things differently from how you're doing them. I'm just telling you what works for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I went with Black Sheep Sales, I also got so excited for the opportunity to reclaim it as a positive for people because it is a positive. If you look at any innovation or progress that has ever happened in this world, it was someone who was brave enough to go against the grain and say, I got a question about that. I have an idea that's different from that. And you know what? People did not want to hear that idea or question. And they told them to sit down. And they had to be brave enough to continue on, regardless, even though it was pissing everyone off. And we all benefited from that courage. And so the idea that I could inspire or fan the flame of that, I mean, this is how new ideas and new approaches are created when people are allowed to think differently and be celebrated for it because it is something to celebrate.
I love your brand because it's so, I mean, it not only matches you, like from obviously knowing you for a couple of years now, like it totally matches your personality and it's so bold and it makes sense and it has this inclusion feel to it. You know what I mean? Like yeah. If you fit into that scenario or if you feel that way, it's almost like you are obviously targeting your audience, but you're bringing them in and making them feel included because you're like, I understand you and we're going to make this happen and we're going to do it our way because we are collective, we're a cohort, we're a team, whatever it might be. And it just really makes an impact straight from the brand. Like before they even meet you, they have this perception of who you are and what you're going to do and how you're going to help them just because of the brand. And that there is huge visibility and a visibility strategy that not only obviously works, but gives people, a feeling, just from the brand and then meeting you and feeling the inclusion and the help that you can give them. It's beautiful. From a marketing perspective, I applaud.
That's so good to hear, Tori, because I can tell you that I've been little like, I love the idea and I want the idea to catch on.
Yeah.
And it's been a journey.
It's always a journey. I mean, we were just talking about like my own personal journey and my business, right? How it's evolved since I launched my business and the lessons I've learned over the time that since launching and how this whole shift in visibility is a strategic purpose because I'm so moved by the opportunity to give women specifically visibility in not only themselves, but in their business and their brand. It's a journey. We have to evolve over time and reaffirm what we're doing or make little shifts or changes as we go to get to align with where we are now and where we're going, because we're always going to be growing, right? That's the goal as humans and as entrepreneurs, like we got to evolve and grow. We can't just stay stagnant in what we started back in, you know, our first day of owning our business. We have to evolve. So, I mean, it's going to be a journey no matter where we are, for sure.
Yeah. And we're going to wonder like, is it the right thing? And so I've actually recently been getting a lot of feedback. Like my headline on LinkedIn is "Stop Selling Like a Douchebag." And people really like it a lot. And so some people are like, lean into this douchebag thing. I think it's more powerful than the black sheep thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I want to be like the douchebag lady. You know, like I, like known for saying that word all the time.
Yeah.
And it also,
do I want that to be my brand?
It's also like, I mean, I like to have fun. Like I recorded these Salesy Steve sketches where I was in a bald cap and muscle suit. And, you know, I like to have fun and be like bold in that way.
Yeah.
But there's also something kind of like hateful about it. Like
sales
bro, like keep your, if it's working for you, like, keep on with your sales, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not trying to change anybody or make anybody feel bad. I just don't want people to feel like they have to do something out of alignment for them.
Right. Absolutely.
In order to succeed. And that's what all the douchebags say is that you have to do it this way. That's right. What I have an issue with. So I don't know. I've recently started posting like a couple more like douchebag things and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can be one of your conversation pillars, right? Because that has resonated with an audience. But as far as like building on that as a brand, like you never know, right? Maybe, but see how it flies. Right?
Maybe it's bold enough to be like memorable, like more memorable. True. Like people are still kind of scared. Mm-hmm. To be a black sheep. Like some people are like, I've embraced this and I'm over it and I'm past it and here I am. But there are people who are like just at this event where I was speaking this last week, I was like, would you say that you're a black sheep? And he was like, well, I'm a weirdo. And I was like, well, what's the difference? Like,
why is that better than black sheep?
You feel more comfortable saying you're a weirdo than a black sheep. So there is like this like sort of tentativeness around it that I really want to remove the stigma because everybody's just trying to be different and stand out. And like when you lean into that, that's what's magnetic for your visibility, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things that you've done for visibility is write a book. And so I feel like that's you get to certain levels in your business where you meet like almost like these pillars, and it's like something that inspires you to do something that inspires you to take action, something that inspires you to put out something like a book, just makes it takes you to another level. And so I'd love for you to talk about your journey in writing the book and how that visibility has changed or shifted or altered your journey, as you continue to grow.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I first got it started in sales, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do for people, right? So, I would work with them and they'd tell me about their offer and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, so you kind of do this." And they'd be like, "Oh, I like how you said that." And I'd be like, "Okay, why don't I just write that down for you, you know?"
Yeah.
And then I was like, "Are you asking these questions specific to your audience?" 'Cause like the mainstream script just asks the same stupid questions no matter what you're selling, and they're not getting genuine information that is going to make a difference for the sale and for you to know if this person's even a fit for your services. So, like, if you were going to ask about SEO, you'd be like, you know, have you noticed a difference when you rank at the top of Google? Maybe you would say, or I think you'd really start with, do you know what SEO is and
Yeah.
why do you want it? Because it is so esoteric for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So, I was like, are you asking these questions? And they'd be like, no, I'm not. And I'd be like, well, let me write those down too, right?
Yeah.
And then I did it like with dozens and dozens of founders to the point where I noticed these patterns in the framework, in the approach. And it is genuinely different from mainstream recommendations, which are like this interrogation-like discovery section where like you do not talk. Like you just keep asking questions, just drill in this person, and you keep all the insights that you get from that. And you mirror it back to them in a pitch where you're the only one talking. So the beginning of the
Ugh.
conversation is the prospect's the only one talking, and then the second part of the conversation is the seller's the only one talking, and then you have this like objection battle at the end or whatever.
Yeah, feels so
So
icky.
yeah, well, and it just deviates so far from an actual conversation, which is an exchange where like at no point is only one person talking like the most by a lot. You know, sure, sometimes one person's talking more, but it's not like you have to be quiet during this phase or whatever. So anyway, I had got it down to a very clear step-by-step methodology that made it more of a conversation that overcame objections proactively, so you don't have to have the objection battle at the end. And I was excited to put it in writing, and it helped me get clear on my own methodology. And I mean, I have been a black sheep in the way that I've launched my book, to be honest, because like I didn't really launch it. And I was just excited that people said that it made a big difference for them. Like just today, I had someone like, I'm buying this for our entire sales team, and I
Oh,
will
that's
recommend
awesome.
it at my next speaking event. And that makes me so happy.
Yeah. I
Amazing.
mean, it's so much, we talk about like visibility and marketing, and I feel like in the age that we're in right now with technology and AI and just like authenticity being a challenge, I feel like there's so much that can be said for two mediums right now that I'm really passionate about, which is podcasting, because that is something that it's conversational. You get to see body language, you get to see and hear inflections in voice, and you learn who somebody really is. And people have to invest time into listening to a podcast. So you know that you're getting people who are truly warm and engaged and interested if they're going to listen to your podcast. And the other is book, right? Like writing a book, you're typically in our, realm, it's based on a framework or it's based on a methodology. And so for somebody to dedicate their time to sit down and read a book is another huge marketing tool that is not only going to give you the edge over somebody else who may also do sales coaching or sales, scripting or whatever it might be, but if they've taken the time to invest in reading your book, listening to your podcast, you know that these are your people. So those are two mediums right now that I think are huge that you cannot overlook in a marketing from a marketing perspective as an entrepreneur or founder or a business, because there's so much to be said for people investing their time in those two particular platforms.
Yeah, well, that's really good to hear because I do both of those.
Yeah.
So thank you.
For you're on the right track, right?
I love external validation. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this up. And I want you to give maybe one piece of advice to somebody who feels like they may be an introvert or not really good at sales. What's like a mindset shift or an action step that they can take to help them get more comfortable with doing sales?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest one that I like to share is that someone's going to sell them something. And most of them are going to do a bad job at fulfillment. And yeah, we've all been there. And don't let that happen to good people. Don't let feeling weird about sales stop you from getting good people the right support that they need. So understanding how to articulate what you're saying and offering it is going to literally make a difference in the world.
Yeah. I love that because it shifts your perspective. It's almost like you're doing a disservice by not telling them about what you can do and how you can help them, especially if, I mean, honestly, you truly know that you can offer what you're selling, versus some Joe Schmo who is going to say the same thing and not fulfill and not care as much as you do. So that's a huge tip. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right.
Save them. Save the people. Yes.
Well, it has been a true honor and pleasure to have you as a guest. We should have done this years ago, but I'm glad that we finally did it today. So how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Black Sheep Sells and connect with you and buy your book?
Yeah. So my book, you can get that at blacksheepsalesbook.com. And I'm on LinkedIn and I have a podcast called Sales Is Not a Dirty Word.
I love it. Well, thank you again for being a guest. Hopefully everyone will go out there, get your book, connect with you on LinkedIn, and start learning from your amazing sales techniques and your just loving spirit. I just love having you as a guest today.
Thank you so much, Tori. I really appreciate the opportunity.